Up next, we have a new segment of Reclaiming History to put the marriage of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle into perspective. We're getting ready to interview Dr. Stephanie E. Myers, author of the book Invisible Queen, Mixed Ancestry Revealed, Queen Sophia Charlotte, Queen of Britain and Ireland, 1761 and 1818. Dr. Myers has a PhD in Applied Management and Decision Science from Walden University. She is the Vice President of R.J. Myers Publishing and Consulting Company. Dr. Myers, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I appreciate being part of the conversation to reclaim history.
I loved your book when I saw the cover, and, you know, like so many other people, I was transfixed with this marriage to, you know, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. I didn't stay up to 4 o'clock. I did record it. But I had to watch it, you know. So tell me a little bit, did you see it? Did you hear about this Meghan Markle, who is the first black royal? What does your book have to say about it?
Well, yes, absolutely. And I did get up early to watch the marriage of Meghan Markle. But let's start out by saying Meghan is not the first black royal. She stands on the shoulders of a woman called Sophia Charlotte, mm-hmm. who was the Queen of England and who had mixed race heritage, African heritage, that was descended through her from a Portuguese line and Moors. And we know that the Moorish people were black people, African people. So Queen Sophia Charlotte was the first royal in Britain with black heritage, and Meghan is the second.
So do the royals talk a lot about this Queen Charlotte? I mean, she was queen during our American Revolution, if you look at the dates that you have on the cover of your book.
Yes, in fact, Queen Charlotte was the last reigning queen of the colonies before the American Revolution. And cities like Charlotte, North Carolina, and Charlottesville, Virginia, were named for this queen before the American Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So American colonies had a black woman, a woman with black heritage, serving as the queen. But it's quite amazing how she's really been disappearing in plain sight, just kind of invisible in plain sight. She's part of history. She's been there. The British family knows that. Her portraits are available. But still, we didn't know about her, and that's what's so surprising.
So when you look at images of her portrait, you can tell from the pictures or from the paintings that she has African heritage from the pictures?
Absolutely, and of course, we black women take pride in our curly hair, and you can certainly look at the queen's hair and see her African heritage is quite evident in her pictures. Of course, she was a light-skinned woman. I'm not saying she was African, but we know in America the one-drop rule put black people into slavery. And so we embrace all of our brothers and sisters who are a rainbow of complexions. We're all under that same diaspora of African heritage, and Queen Sophia Charlotte was one of those.
What kind of queen was she?
Well, that's really when I began to get so impressed with her. Starting off the research because of her Moorish heritage was one thing, but once we learned about her contributions to the world, this is a woman who supported the smallpox vaccine in the 1700s when people were scared to death of smallpox and tens of thousands of people, mostly children, were dying. She inoculated her children. And she had 15 children. This woman was mother of 15 children, 13 of whom made it to adulthood.
Wow.
So she really had a scientific knowledge. She also was an abolitionist. And this is the really important part about her, because slavery was going on. And when Charlotte got to become the queen, she became a very, very determined abolitionist and worked with key leaders like William Wilberforce, Granville Sharp, an African named Oladu Equiano. These were all abolitionist leaders,
yes.
And she was friends with them. So she worked behind the scenes in the British Parliament to try to end slavery. And it did end in England in 1808 While she and King George III were still reigning as king and queen, slavery in England did end.
So, Dr. Myers, was this unusual for the time? Like, how often was intermarriage actually occurring during these Middle Ages?
Well, that's a really good question, and I believe there was a lot more intermarriage than really has been written about and recorded in history. I mean, we know that Mark Antony in Rome was involved with Cleopatra, and Cleopatra was a black woman. We know that King Solomon in the Bible had a black wife. We know that these stories of people with black history and black heritage are scattered through history. But it hasn't. We have to keep doing our work and uncovering it. One of the most famous saints was a saint named Saint Maurice, and he's a saint today, and he was a black man. They called him the Moor. And so there are stories of mixed-race people, African people, who've made contributions to world history, not only in Europe, but in America, South America, Asia, all over the world. And so we have to capture these stories and document the contributions. Queen Charlotte, for example, when she was queen, she was entertaining John Adams and Tom Jefferson in the palace.
Wow.
And I often wonder whether Thomas Jefferson brought Sally Hemings with him. Wouldn't that have been an interesting exchange?
Exactly. Yeah.
And one other thing, you started out the conversation talking about Meghan and Prince Harry. They got married on Queen Charlotte's birthday, May 19th.
Really?
Now, is that a coincidence?
I probably not, knowing the royals, right?
There you go.
They planned things.
Also, instead of getting married at Westminster Abbey, they got married at St. George's Chapel. Queen Sophia Charlotte and her husband, King George III, are buried at St. George's Chapel on the grounds of Windsor Palace.
Wow, that's saying something. Now,
Absolutely.
How open are the royals about this history? I mean, you found it. It must have been known during the time that Queen Charlotte was of mixed ancestry. You know, are you able to get into that into your book? Like, how was she received by the British people?
Well, our book, The Invisible Queen, talks about the role that she played, and she was very well loved by the British people. And King George III, he suffered from mental illness as he got older. There was a famous movie done, The Madness of King George.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
Queen Charlotte was able to help him keep the throne for 57 years. Now, she could only do that if the Parliament and the people supported her. So she was loved by the people of England. And still today, she's widely respected for her contributions to the world. They just choose to conveniently forget her heritage. So we have to conveniently remember her heritage, particularly for young people. Mm-hmm. They need to know that this woman, she spoke four languages. And this is at a time when most girls in the 1700s didn't have the opportunity to go to school.
Right.
She loved education. She read. And also, in terms of your show, I love the way you call it the sanctuary. I love that concept. The queen was very spiritual. She was a woman of faith, and she studied religious writings. And so she had a multidimensional personality, a mom, a reader, a diplomat. She did all of these things.
So if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Dr. Stephanie Myers, author of The Invisible Queen, Mixed Ancestry Revealed, Queen Sophia Charlotte, Queen of Britain and Ireland, 1761 and 1818. And we're exploring the true first black royal of Britain. So, doctor, how, you know, we in America, we have this issue called racism. And we struggle with race relations, and we have from this period of slavery. Was racism prevalent in Europe during this time, the concept of racism?
Yes, it was. It was. Charlotte was criticized for having a crooked mulatto face. They criticized her lips. Members of the British court, very envious and jealous, made very disparaging remarks about her. And slavery was going on all over the world, Black people were in chattel slavery in the islands and in America. So there was racism that was used to justify this horrible, cruel practice of kidnapping people from Africa and putting them in a lifetime of slavery. It was a horrible, horrible practice, and it went on for hundreds of years, and racism was used to justify it. And that's why we all must be so sensitive and try to transform the world to understand that we're all human beings. And
absolutely,
this insanity of racism must stop. It must end. And Queen Charlotte was an example of a woman who was of Black heritage, but she stood proudly, but she also partnered with Africans. She supported a young Black musician. You know, when I saw the cellist at the Queen at the wedding, the royal wedding, that wonderful Black cellist who played, well, that was in the tradition of Queen Sophia Charlotte, because she discovered Mozart.
Hmm.
And she also supported a young man named George Bridgetower, who was an African, mixed-race African youth who played the violin.
Mm-hmm.
So she was very supportive of people of color in her own way. And, of course, as an abolitionist, she didn't stand back at all. And there's a great story that her picture was copied during slavery over here in the colonies. They brought her picture and showed it to Black people on plantations in Virginia and North Carolina, and they said, look, this is the Queen of England. You should leave and run away. And many Black people known as Black patriots got on British ships and went up to Canada. And that's how Nova Scotia and the area of Canada got started. People running away from slavery, and many of them being enticed by the British. This is during the Revolutionary War, so they wanted to have the Black slaves fight against the colonists. So it's a very complicated scenario. But she had to give permission for this to be done. And the man who was showing her picture was the father-in-law of one of her sons. So she knew it was happening.
Was Queen Charlotte a descendant of a slave? Were her parents slaves? Is that how she?
No. Her mother was descended from a Moorish woman who was the concubine of a Portuguese king. His name was Alfonso, and Alfonso conquered people in Africa. And what happened during this, this wretched time of history? The Europeans, the Portuguese, would conquer an African country, kidnap the Black people, and then they would keep the Black women as a concubine. Mm. And so Queen Charlotte's mother was descended from several generations of Moorish women. In fact, a wonderful researcher, Mario de Calcun, Mario de Valdez y Calcun, he's really the one who traced her genealogy. And I want to give a big shout out to him because his research was outstanding. And he says that there were really six lines that intermarried in Charlotte's mother's matrilineal line, and that her Black heritage, people would marry cousins, that
right.
kind of thing,
right.
that this happened in this Moorish concubine woman. Her name was Madragana. Madragana was a Moor, and she was the concubine of King Alfonso. And it was her children with him who became the ones that handed down the generations of DNA, which came to Charlotte, and Prince Harry is seven generations from Queen Charlotte. So Prince Harry has Queen Charlotte's DNA, so does Queen Elizabeth, and so did Queen Victoria. It's all the same line.
Well, Queen Charlotte had red hair, I think, from what I saw. At least it looked like it was auburn hair. And we know that Prince Harry is a ginger?
That's the word.
That's the word. He's a ginger. And so maybe there's a little something left there on the genetic tree. But if you're just listening, we're talking to Dr. Stephanie Myers, author of Invisible Queen, Mixed Ancestry Revealed, Queen Sophie Charlotte, Queen of Britain and Ireland, 1761 to 1818. So Dr. Myers, can you tell us how can someone get a copy of your book if they want to do their own research, if they want to read the book themselves? How can they get a copy?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm sure your listeners are running to Amazon. The book is not available on Amazon. It is exclusively available at MyersPublishing.com. We're a small minority-owned business. We're the exclusive distributors of our book, MyersPublishing.com. And they can order using PayPal, their credit cards, and there's information if they want to send in a money order. They can download the order form and mail it in. So we have a lot of different ways that people can order. But we certainly invite your listeners to join the effort to understand the contributions. I love the way you have it, reclaiming history. The contributions of black people with black heritage to world history are vast. And we have to feel pride in that. Queen Charlotte is one example, but there are many more. And so this is why I was just excited to learn about her, and we'll be studying other people in the future, and they'll be able to get other books from us in the coming year.
Dr. Myers, with the 2 minutes we have left, is there anything else you want to share about the Queen or about your book?
Yes, I'd like to share that she could have just become a queen and dressed up and just had parties and been one of these people who didn't care about anything. I get very annoyed these days. You hear so many people say, oh, I don't have anything to do with politics or the news, and I don't watch the news. She could have done that, but she didn't. She actually adopted a school for orphan girls, and she helped these little girls learn how to sew curtains and bedspreads, and she brought them into the palaces and gave them work, vocational training. So this was a woman who could have just traveled and partied and had a great time, but instead she was an abolitionist. She worked with the young girls. She supported young musicians. She studied science like the smallpox I mentioned earlier. And she was also a botanist. In England today, there's a very famous garden called the Kew Gardens. And Charlotte didn't start the Kew Gardens. King George III's mother did, the Dowager Augusta, but she popularized the Kew Gardens, and it exists today with samples of plants from all over the world. She even had a comet named after her. So this was just a woman who had so many contributions in so many fields.
Well, Dr. Myers, we thank you so much for all of your research and all of your hard work, and we thank you for your wonderful book, and we thank you for being on WOOC 105.3 FM, The Sanctuary. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and please invite everyone to come to MyersPublishing.com. Thank you so much for the invitation, Lavanya and Sophie. Appreciated being with you today.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
That was Dr. Stephanie Myers, author of the book entitled The Invisible Queen, the first black queen of England.